السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, it is the day of Jumu'ah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has chosen this day as a day of Eid for the Muslims. Islam has got its own cultural lifestyle. The lifestyle of a Muslim is very, very different from that of others. It is extremely important and necessary that every Muslim should understand that he is a believer in Allah Ta'ala. He follows the Quran Sharif. He follows the guidance given by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other people will have their own cultural lifestyles. They will have their own constitution. They will have their own books of guidance. Hardly much is left, of course, in the books that they have in their hands, which is authentic and reliable. And there is no such thing as guidance in every aspect of life also in those books of the past. It is only Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who has given us guidance in every aspect of our life. How to celebrate, if there is happiness, if there is some kind of happiness in the family. A child is born, so now we are told make aqiqah, invite the family, friends, eat, distribute some to the poor and the needy. Now there is some place for some kind of celebration in inverted commas. Islam doesn't say that you must only sit and cry or sit in the masjid and read tasbih or make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. We have an occasion of happiness, which is the birth of a child, so now make aqiqah and then eat, feed. In the same way, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to walimas, when it comes to other such occasions, then Islam has given us some kind of guidance of how to express that joy, how to express that happiness. It doesn't want to stifle our happiness, but it has given us a direction of how to express that happiness. In the same way, if there is sorrow, there's grief, there's gham, there's pain, there's suffering, there's a loss of some member of the family, or loss of some wealth, or loss of some property, or the person has experienced some kind of failure, then how to express that sorrow? Because in a human being's life, there will either be occasions of happiness or occasions of sorrow. It will be between the two. Certain things will make him happy and certain things will make him sad. And whether it is a king or whether it is a beggar, whether it is a rich person or a poor person, whether it is black or white, whether it is Mufti Sahib or Qari Sahib or Haji Sahib, whatever he may be, every person must experience these two things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself experienced happiness. The birth of children, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expressed happiness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's weddings, his marriages, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's walimas. Then again we have the days of Eid. On those days we are told how to express that happiness in our clothing, in our dressing, in our exchange of our greetings. And in everything else we are given some kind of guidance. So Islam hasn't left us without guidance, whether it is occasions of happiness or whether it is occasions of sorrow and grief. And this is something that a person will be faced with in his life. As I said, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were faced with this. So we cannot just follow blindly the traditions of others when it comes to our days of happiness, days of joy. In the expression of that joy and happiness, we cannot go overboard. We all know that the matric results have been released, and lots of people got A's, lots of got distinctions, lots of people have got good passes. So it's an occasion of happiness, it's an occasion of rejoicing. There's no doubt about that. There must be happiness. We don't say that the person must be very sad about having passed. But is that the only thing that has to be considered? No matter how many A's a person gets, but this is something that you have heard many, many times. that what about the A of akhlaq? Because he's a Muslim pupil. The person is a Muslim child, is a Muslim pupil who has excelled, who has got A's. So what about the A of akhlaq? Good character in the person. Haven't we heard of what kind of celebrations people engage in? All the metric dances that will take place, all the metric balls that will take place. Now, does not the Muslim child have to be different from the others? Make them question that, why are you different? Why don't you come to the metric ball? Why are your parents so rigid and so hard and so fast about your dancing with the other girls who are in your class? And why are they so difficult when it comes to drinking and celebrating and exposing yourselves in inappropriate ways? So then the person says that, look, I was supposed to work hard and excel and become an excellent Muslim doctor, excellent Muslim scientist, excellent Muslim engineer. But I have a religion, I have a way of life. I'm the follower of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, I cannot participate in these things and use it as an opportunity to get across to them the beautiful teachings of Islam. That there is a place for rejoicing, there is a place for happiness, but not the way that we are giving encouragement to our children, our girls, our boys, to express their happiness. Look at the kind of immodesty and shamelessness and indecency, and in fact sometimes bordering on complete obscenity. Is that Islam? Then we say that we are not allowing them to express happiness. So there is no question of not allowing them to express happiness. It is just like saying that the person came into the masjid now, and if he comes and he faces the opposite direction, Qibla is in this direction, he faces the opposite direction. Now somebody tells him that, look, if you came to read namaz, read in this direction. So he gets angry, he gets upset, and he walks out. And when somebody asks him, why you walked out and didn't make your Jummah Salat, he says, no, they stopped me from making Salat. So will that be acceptable? Did they stop him from making Salat, or did they stop him from making Salat in the wrong direction? So nobody is saying that you must not express happiness, but the happiness must be expressed in the right direction. Because we are Muslims. So either we say clearly and state that, no, we got nothing to do with Islam, which of course nobody will do it. But then our actions are showing that we are followers of other cultures, blindly. And look at the headaches that it is creating for those same parents. We deal with cases every day of our lives, and sometimes half a dozen cases in one day, or even more. And besides that, all the emails and other letters and all that come. Parents are holding their heads and crying, my daughter is gone, I have lost my daughter. I sent her for studies, and then she got involved with a non-Muslim. And she registered her marriage, and now she doesn't want to even know us. So many boys are gone. So we are not saying anything wrong with celebrating or expressing some kind of happiness that the person has passed. But there has to be amal, there has to be akhlaq, the A of akhlaq, what about that? Good character, good behavior, do our matriculants have that? Those who have passed with A's, do they have that? Is this akhlaq, the way they are dancing and shouting and screaming and exposing themselves to all the evils? So amal, akhlaq, adab, now all these A's we can go on counting, and many a times we have done that. So in these times of happiness, there is a direction the Quran gives us, the Hadith Sharif gives us. So excel, there is no doubt. In fact, we say to the students that are the college universities that we know that the environment there is very, very vicious. It is like being out in the Kruger National Park and walking with lions and wolves and cheetahs all around. Sometimes a person is caught in this web, or sometimes is caught in that net. Either is caught in a web or net. And look at the kind of problems. But if you want to do some studies, then apply yourself, stay away from the haram influences. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, as I said, that we will find direction. Look at the struggle in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. We say that the person studied for 12 years and now he passed his matric, so shouldn't he celebrate? Indeed, as I am saying, there can be happiness. But immodesty and shamelessness is not part of Islam. Tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana. Tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana. نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈھل جانا رہے حق میں حسن ظاہر رہے حق میں بتوں کے حسن ظاہر پر پھسل جانا جدھر چلنا حدود شرع سے باہر نکل جانا مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ. Every time that a government changes, he says, you change also. Government change, so whatever the government's cultural style, then we follow that blindly. Whereas the government doesn't force anybody that you must commit adultery, you must commit fornication, you must watch porn sites, you must get involved in illicit love relationships, you must get involved in homosexual relationships. Does the government force anybody? That's their legislation. ویسے تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا. Any new government comes, we also change with the government. نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈل جانا. Oh Muslim, you were supposed to be a namuna, you were supposed to be a role model, you were supposed to be one that was going to be followed, and instead of that you are the one that is blindly following. We talk about blind following. When a person is following the Quran and Sunnah, we say blind following. Now here, what are we doing if it's not blind following? Namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke sanche mein dal jana. You are supposed to be role model. Instead, you become the follower of other cultures. Rahe haq mein buto ke husne zahir pe phisal jana. In the path of truth, instead of following the truth, what happens is that you get so captivated by the glitter and glamour that is on the outside, that the person gets carried away and he slips and he falls. And in whichever occasion it is, whether it is occasion of happiness, occasion of sadness, occasion of rejoicing or occasion of crying, whatever it may be, you go above board. Hudood-e shar'a se bahar nikal jana. The borders of sharia that are there, there are borders, there are limitations, because we are Muslims, so there will be limitations. Look at the number of government regulations that we abide by and we follow. The number of government regulations. Look at the books and books that are being written. Sometimes it's just one law, and look at the explanation that they give about that one law. Therefore look at the courts. The attorneys will argue and argue just over one A and one B there, or one comma there, one inverted comma there, whatever it may be, that is how they will keep on arguing. And that all we accept. When it comes to licenses, look at the number of legislation for licenses. Look at the regulations and legislation with regards to our traffic and our driving, our cars. There we don't say that my car, I bought, $1 million car I bought, I should be allowed to drive at any speed that I like. They we accept, because it's a government of the time. So therefore we accept that legislation. So are we not under Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's government? And yet Allah ta'ala's laws are for our benefit. The government's laws, many, many of those laws are for nothing but extracting from us as much as they can. And then having their bashes and having their parties and corruption at its highest level. And look at what is happening in parliament and cabinets and other places. That poor taxman, now he doesn't know whether he's going to survive or not. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's regulations are there to give us the best, give us the best of this world and the qabr and the akhirah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I was saying, that here we talk about 12 years of studies, and in the 12 years what the person does, how much of sins he engages in, how much of filth he watches on the TV and movies, and how much of things he sees on the internet, and how much of football and cricket and rugby and every other kind of sporting activities, so much of entertainment pleasure he has, and then he passed some exams. And look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's struggle. From the time that he is told, قُمْ فَأَنْذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَسَيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he starts his call, straight away there's nothing but persecution, there's torture, there's stoning, there's beating up, he falls down in the Haram Sharif unconscious. His companion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is beaten up. And then look at those other companions, they are all beaten up. Women folk who accept Islam are beaten up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then you look at his whole life, right from the time that he gave the call. Those very people who used to call him As-Sadiq al-Ameen, As-Saduq al-Ameen, very, very truthful, very, very trustworthy. Now suddenly they all turned against him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after all that struggle, then there's a 3 years solid ostracism and boycott. 3 years. We are sitting comfortably in the masjid yawm Jummah day, air conditioned. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 solid years in Shab ibn Abi Talib. And the time comes when they have to chew leaves of trees for survival. The babies cannot get milk because the mothers have nothing to eat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is going through such tests and trials. So that we may take consolation. Did he commit any kind of sin? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after that ends, his wife, Hazrat Khadija, passes away, who was a backbone and support for him. His uncle Abu Talib passes away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the kinds of tests and trials, that finally he has to even leave his home. He has to make hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turns towards Makkah and he says, "Oh Makkah, I dearly love you. I dearly love you. If it had not been for my people taking me out, I would not have left. Prophet of Allah Ta'ala is migrating. He is making hijrah. And not by plane, not by car, not by bus. Look at the way he has to go up to cave of Sur. 3 days again in that cave. Enemies are surrounding. They come very close. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protects him. The dove lays its egg. The spider builds its web. It appears as if there's nobody in that cave. And look at that, walking over the mountains and go through the road of Hijrah and see what kind of difficulties he must have experienced. But then to cut it short, he comes to Madina Tayyibah. Again in the second year, the battle of Badr. Then the battle of Uhud. Look at the kinds of tests and trials. The battle of Trench, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ties stones upon his belly. One Sahabi raises his shirt and says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to hunger I've got one stone tied on my stomach." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raises his garment and says, "You've got one, look at mine, it's two." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sulh Hudaybiyah. They come right up to Hudaybiyah, so close to Makkah Mukarramah, and they are told, "Go back, we're not allowing you to enter into Makkah Sharif." They go back to Madina Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this Hunain there, this Khaybar there, so many different trials and tests and battles. Then finally comes the conquest of Makkah. When comes the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, what would Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have done? Or what would any other ruler have done? He would have put everybody to sword. That you are the people that troubled us so much, persecuted us, tortured us. You don't deserve living. And he would have done what any other government would have done and other rulers would have done. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "La tasriba alaykum al-yawm." He told to them the same thing. He says, "I tell you the same thing which Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told to his brothers. No revenge today." But then the point that I was bringing across is this, that now was an occasion of celebration. It was an occasion of real rejoicing. After a real struggle of 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah and 10 years in Madina Tayyibah, it's 23 years, not like our students of 12 years of studies in which, as I said, that there's so much of entertainment, fun and pleasure. Nobody swears them, nobody curses them, nobody hits them, nobody beats them, nothing. They just have to do a few books, and nowadays the pass rate too is so easy. Now here is an occasion of celebration. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as he is entering Makkah Mukarramah, it is recorded in the history books, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's head bows down so low that his beard touches the saddle of his camel. In humility before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, "Oh Allah, This is the day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is the day that my Allah ta'ala had promised me. Now, this was a promise that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made. Now this was the day of real celebration and joy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam bows down his head, so much that his beard is almost touching the saddle. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The khutbah that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives, look at the words of that khutbah. There's no time to go into any detail. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam praises Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. First of all, la ilaha illallah. There is absolutely no one worthy of worship except Allah. His greatness, His glory, His might, His power, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's assistance, His help, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is acknowledging that there is nothing that I could have done. It is, oh Allah, your help, your mercy, your kindness. La sharika la, there is no one that is a participant with you. You are not some kind of limited company or PTY limited or some kind of CC corporation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is wahda. Allah ta'ala's oneness, Allah ta'ala's greatness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Naswara abda wa sadaqa wa'da wa hazama al ahzaba wahda. Look at the words Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who has helped his slave. Humility, look at humility. The greatness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a struggle of 23 years in which there is torture, there's persecution, there's everything. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that my Allah is to be glorified, that He is the one who helped His servant, He helped His slave, He helped His banda. He fulfilled His promise that He had made to His servant and His slave. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hazam al ahzaba wahda. After all the effort and all the sacrifices and all the difficulties and trials and tests that he underwent, he could have said that we really made a great effort and we have achieved a great success. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam attributes the entire success to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazam al ahzaba wahda. He is the one who vanquished the enemy. Now here we just passed some examination and look at the kind of celebration. Immodesty, shamelessness, indecency. Where is the shame of the parents going? They say, no, we were approached by newspapers, we were approached by the television, we were approached by the schools and the societies. So can't we say that, no, my daughter is a Muslim child. And we deeply regret that we have a cultural lifestyle in which we are not allowed to give them such kind of freedom, such kind of shamelessness, immodesty. Here we celebrate our happiness by thanking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong. Eat, drink, express happiness, give some gift to the child that has passed. But the manner in which we go about, and look at what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is doing here. It's an occasion of victory. And a victory also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as he's entering, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his head bowed very, very low, praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif in very, very beautiful and sweet tone, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reciting, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. That great victory Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given. He's reading, Iza ja'a nasrullahi wal fath. So there is no question of inferiority complex. We don't say that the person must suffer from inferiority complex. That is a psychological kind of thing. Here what we are saying is that the person attributes the success to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That if he did not give me this intelligence, if he did not give me the strength, if he did not give me the sight, if he didn't give me the hearing, if he didn't give me the health that I had, would I have been able to study? Would I have been able to see the computers? Would I have been able to read the books? Would I have been able to absorb in my mind? How many children we know that they have no memory at all? So many people are paralyzed. So many people qualified with the degrees and everything, and suddenly overnight everything was gone. So who is it that gives that intelligence? Who is it that gives us that health, gives us the strength and gives us the capacity to understand, to absorb? And we forget that same Allah as soon as we get some kind of success. It's deep-hearted pain, my brothers, that I'm expressing. We have lost track. And there's nobody, it seems as if anybody there to say anything also anymore, because we say we'll be offended. So again, don't misunderstand me as I said that it is like that qibla, that the person, if he is making namaz in the wrong direction, will say make namaz, but make it in the right direction. So what we are saying is celebrate, express joy, express happiness, but express it correctly. Read 2 rakat namaz, make some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, give some sadqa, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from all the fitnas, and make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He gave success, and bring that akhlaq, the A of akhlaq, the A of a'mal, the A of being an abid of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the A of being an ashik and a true lover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Bring all those A's in. And then together with those A's, if you have A's in your academic, alhamdulillah, it's wonderful. We need excellent Muslim doctors, Muslim teachers, Muslim scientists, Muslim lawyers, Muslim engineers, Muslim specialists, Muslim surgeons. We need in every field we need. But first Muslim and then everything else. Let us not be followers, blind followers of other cultures. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lesson from this entry of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into Makkah Mukarrama with such humility that is beyond our imagination and understanding. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the amnesty that he gives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore we are supposed to be reading the Quran Sharif, read the translation, understand the meaning, read some ahadith, read the history of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of his companions. We will find examples. May Allah ta'ala give me also, give you also, and the ummah at large tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, especially all parts of the world which have now been affected either by floods, as we have in our country at present, or by gale force wind, or by earthquakes, or by other disasters. So we pray for the entire mankind, and especially for the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether they're in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, or any part of the world. Look at the sacrifices that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for the ummah. And when he is informed that after all that sacrifices that you made, that ummah which talks about you, which praises you, which reads Naat Sharifs in your honor, whether ummah in discourse, cinemas, theatres, adultery, fornication, porn sites, will that please Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That kind of Naat Sharif, will it please Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That you praise the person and do exactly what is displeasing to the person. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.